And we're back here on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, speaking with folks from the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility. In the previous segment, we got to know Dr. Sarah Ziegler a bit. We also have Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF Coordinator for USDA APHIS, and Katie Pulaski, the Communications Director, on the line. And to start off this segment, Dr. Burton, we're not going to talk too much about the coronavirus. And could you just fill us in a little bit on why maybe we're not trying to dodge the conversation, but there's a little bit of we kind of have to follow a chain of command here regarding getting some of these questions answered.
Sure. Thanks, Nick. Well, one of the critical issues is the fact that, you know, we want to make sure that everybody understands that the MBAF focus is on high containment, biosafety level 4 livestock research in the United States. But as part of that, as Dr. Ziegler mentioned, you know, we'll be able to work on the highest level of containment on some of those pathogens that are considered zoonotic or have the capability of being transmitted from animals to humans, and there's actually some that can be transmitted from humans to animals. But about 70% of emerging diseases in humans over the last 10 years have some type of an animal component. And so, you know, because of that, there will be some crossover as far as public health implications of work that is being done at NBAF. And some studies have pointed to the fact that COVID-19 has an animal component. So that means that it could fall into that zoonotic category. So while NBAP, you know, specifically will focus on animal diseases, it potentially could play a supporting role in future public health crises with respect to the livestock research, the diagnostics, and countermeasure development, as well as training and response. So you know, the animal health world works very closely with the human side and vice versa.
All right. And Dr. Burton, tell me a little bit about moving off of coronavirus now. Tell me a little bit about the status of operations going on there. I know, you know, we were talking about some teleworking still going on. Or are you all moving back into the offices yet?
We're, as you might guess, Nick, we're still continuing to maximize our telework. There's requirements that we must meet within both Riley and Pottawatomie County in order to be able to start moving back into the temporary office space on a phasing approach. We do have four teams who are providing some limited on-site support. We've got our facilities group who's shadowing the commissioning processes at NBAF. Our IT continues to provide services by appointment only. Of course, security is needed at both the temporary office space and at the construction site. And then our transshipping group is keeping really busy maintaining our external warehouse for shipping and receiving. The remaining teams are still very, very busy, as I said, working by telework, but they're addressing two really important areas for NBAF operational standup. One's the full fit out that Dr. Ziegler mentioned a little bit about, and that's preparation for moving into the NBAF facility. And the other part is called rebaselining our integrated master schedule. So both of those are very critical. When we're planning for the move into the facility, we have to know every item that's going to be needed to become operational. So this is from benchtop equipment, floor-mounted equipment, to paper towels and toilet paper. So not only do we need to know what's needed, but we also have to be able to plan when it will be ordered and received and how we'll stage it into the new facility. So as you can guess, it's quite a task and takes a lot of planning, a lot of communication and research.
Have you made
it? In addition to the full fit out, we need to know each step of the process on the many tasks that need to be accomplished in order to stand up the operation for USDA to NBAF. So this is where our integrated master schedule comes in. Each team at USDA NBAF has identified many tasks that it's going to take to and put it on a timeline of when it should be accomplished. So this becomes the integrated master schedule, and this is a part that Dr. Ziegler has been really intimately involved in over the last couple of years as a contractor, but now as our deputy director, she's continuing to take that on. But what we've done over the last couple of weeks is a lot of meetings, rebaselining. So we're taking the information on that integrated master schedule and updating it to be able to phase everything into a more current schedule and predict what needs to be done, what remains to be done, and what we're in good shape on.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot in store for you still. Have you taken any steps to make you close toward moving back into office space, or is that still a ways off?
It'll be a minimum of 42 days. We have three phases once we go through the gating period, and each of those is a 14-day requirement. So it's going to be probably at least a month and a half before we may even come close to being back into the facility with everybody.
All right. And I want to get Katie involved in this conversation. Katie Pulaski is the NBAF Communications Director. Can you tell us a little bit about hiring and how that's been going? I know that there's plenty of people you still need to onboard.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been lucky that even in this time of maximum telework, so we've been kind of primarily all working out of home since early March when the stay-at-home orders, or wait, it was April, somewhere March or April when the stay-at-home orders kicked in. But we have done a lot of hiring virtually, so Zooms have become our best friend. So yeah, we're actually about halfway to the estimated total of 400 team members that we expect to have on board by the end of 2023. So we've got a good chunk of those on board already. I believe we have over 150 that are on board, and then we've got some more that will be onboarding here in the next couple of months. We do have some jobs posted right now. So as a reminder, all of our jobs are posted on usajobs.gov. So right now we've got a position for an electrician worker, industrial hygienist, animal health technician, welder, automotive mechanic, and veterinary medical officer. So a really wide range of options. So again, we have this huge campus and this amazing, we need a whole lot of people and a lot of different areas of expertise to make it all function and work together. So we also, just as a reminder, do have MBAFIC on Twitter and LinkedIn, and so we try to share the job information out there as well.
And for those who drive by the facility, it does look relatively put together, but there is still work going on. Can you give us an update on what is being still worked on there regarding construction?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the work, and this is coming from the Department of Homeland Security, so they've told us that a lot of the work being done now is really related to interior finishes and commissioning, which basically means testing all the things to make sure that everything's working as it should before we start using any of it. So the latest update we have from DHS is that they're still on budget. The on-site worker population was about 200 per day, and so yeah, as you drive by, you'll also see fewer people. This time last year and in the spring, there were about 650 people on site per day, I believe. That was the most. So that's definitely fewer people on site as well. They are still, due to the impacts of COVID-19 on labor and material availability, DHS, their Science and Technology Directorate, is still forecasting a potential 2.5-month delay in the completion of construction. So we were scheduled to move into the facility in December of this year and complete commissioning by May of 2021. So we're still expecting, and they're forecasting about a 2.5-month delay, and we don't have any updates yet on that.
All right. And we're just about out of time, but I have to get this question in before we go. As NBAF was sort of being, I don't want to say fought for, but strought for, we'll say that, by various communities, it was sold as a way to sort of spur private investment, too. There was an expectation there's going to be a lot of companies coming in, or some number of companies coming in to sort of co-locate and work alongside NBAF. What do you think that type of investment will mean for the community in the Flint Hills region, whatever level it comes in at?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we, NBAF is really excited to collaborate with a lot of different organizations domestically and internationally, collaborations with universities like K-State and other university scientists, government agencies, organizations within the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor. We're really excited to have those opportunities. We're excited that we're starting to see, we actually have just had our second family, is in the process of moving from Plum Island. From New York. So we're really excited to be sharing with folks outside this area about what makes the Flint Hills region such a great place to live and to be. Kind of speaking of K-State, this is the final week of our very first MBAC laboratorium training program. And so that's where 10 undergraduate students and recent college grads spent the last 8 weeks learning about how to work with pathogens in high containment. So that's a joint effort between APHIS, the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine, and the Biosecurity Research Institute. So that's just one example of a, you know, workforce development program that's in play because MBAC is here.
Very good. And you know, we could continue talking on a lot of different lines here, but we're out of time and I've got to move on. Sarah, Ken, Katie, I really appreciate you tuning into Zoom to speak with me this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Nick. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Have a great morning. And when we come back, you'll hear from General Perry Wiggins from the Governor's Military Council here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.